Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. Choosewood.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha.
They actually sometimes don't even know who owns their building.
It's a 60% increase across 7 years.
Owning land to rent to other folks to drive your wealth.
There's actually been a decrease for some people in wages.
That same apartment is now going on rent for $1,200 and $1,300.
In 2022, the local nonprofit Action St. Louis put out a survey to capture data on city renter experiences. That data, along with findings from trends they tracked around housing across the St. Louis area in 2023, were released in a report called The Rental Landscape of St. Louis 2023, with results from their We the Tenants housing survey. And overall, the picture it paints has much more shadow than light. Here to discuss what the report says about rising rents as we hear listener experiences around managing and securing affordable and safe housing, we welcome Kayla Reed, Executive Director of Action St. Louis. Great to have you here again.
Thank you so much.
We also have Tila Gajewski, Action St. Louis Data Coordinator. Welcome to you.
Hi, thank you so much.
And thank you both for joining the program today. So we referred to state and city rankings for rising rents in our intro, which came from rent.com, and it covered a year of numbers. Now, Action St. Louis, with the support of Arch City Defenders, has started its survey of renters in 2022. Kayla, what is it that inspired that survey and the housing report that it's part of?
Yeah, so in 2020, during the pandemic, we all have heard the many stories, and Action sort of saw firsthand the impact of the pandemic on renters and the inability to pay rent because we were quarantined and unable to work. And a lot of folks are hourly workers. And so if you can't physically go into work, you're not going to get paid. So we saw sort of this explosive amount of evictions being filed. At the same time, we were sort of launching the We the Tenants campaign, which really focused in on how we can improve protections, rights, and access to affordable housing for renters in the St. Louis region. And from those stories, we really just wanted to tell a larger story of the realities of renters in St. Louis. Oftentimes, you have to sort of search long and far for statistics around what people are facing, but even more powerfully than just a statistic are these stories of people having to choose between childcare and rent, or feeling like they're having to put out more money than they're bringing in, and the burden of that.
Right. Now, rents, as we noted, are going up all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And Missouri is seeing rents go up at an extremely high rate. But your report focused on the city.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to sort of limit it to that?
Yeah, I'll definitely let Tila add to this, but the campaign really grew inside of the city. That's where our organization really focuses. We are Action St. Louis. And so for us, it was a natural sort of continuation of the work that we had done. Along with, you know, Arch City Defenders, we put out this pro se guide to help renters navigate evictions. We were doing door-to-door canvases and wellness checks during the pandemic. We've done mutual aid work after the flood that happened, where we were actually really focused on resourcing renters who had lost everything in the flood. And so St. Louis City and St. Louis County were our sort of natural terrains, mm-hmm. and the city is where our base really lives.
Right. And Tila?
Yeah, absolutely agreeing with Kayla there. The people who filled out our survey and the people that we had conversations with lived in the city of St. Louis or some parts of St. Louis County. So it was important to provide additional context in those regions that are most applicable to those people.
Right. Now let's get to something that the report starts off with, and that is a figure that jumps right out at me, which is that 44% of renters pay too much for housing. What does too much mean, Tila?
Yes, anything above 30% of your income is too much. You're therefore rent burdened, and people paying more than 50% are severely rent burdened.
And as far as numbers, Kayla, go, what are we talking about as far as like how much people are paying per month and what kinds of increases they're seeing?
Yeah, so we know that wages in our region are actually really stagnant, and that until 2018, minimum wage in Missouri was still the federal limit, and now it's up to $13. And so for most people, they're making, who are in that bracket of income, are making about $2,000 a month. But we've seen rent jump from about $500 5 years ago to now being $800, and the units that were $800, well over $1,000. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about wages compared to the rent increases, folks are not earning more money. They're just putting out more of their resources in rent, which is stretching them across, which is stretching them financially.
Mm-hmm. And is that what rent burdened means?
Yeah. So really it's defined as, you know, folks who pay more than 30% of their income. But when you start to think about your own personal income,
right.
You have so many things that are increasing. The cost of food is going up in this economy. Childcare costs are going up. Tuition costs are going up. Mm-hmm. And so vulnerable populations like students, elders, single parents are really feeling the brunt of these rate increases.
Yeah. And Kayla, you're mentioning single parents. That brings up a point that I always like to get to, because a term like renter can give you the impression that we're talking about one person. But when we say that 44% of renters are paying too much, I mean, how many people are we talking about who are being impacted by this high rent? Tila?
Yeah, I believe the city has around like 98,000 renters in the city. So roughly less than half of that are households full of parents, children, aunts, maybe even additional generations who are included in that. And so these are entire households that are included in that number. So it might just be that one person who's on the lease, who's listed there, but everyone who's in that home is also impacted mm-hmm. by rent burden.
Right. Now, we put out a call on social media previous to this segment to ask people to share their experiences with rising rent in STL. We got an email from Audrey Leonard, who shared that she lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is sort of infamous for yeah. how expensive it is. And Audrey said that she was surprised by how expensive it's gotten in St. Louis. She wrote, "Lots of people in St. Louis suggested I was coming back to a less expensive city, and I can categorically say that is simply not true. People joke about California being so expensive, you know, you're paying for the weather and that sort of thing. That's fair." But Audrey says that she was living 1 mile from the San Francisco Bay, and it was the most expensive state to live in. And St. Louis is behind by $500. Apropos of that, too, Midwest Newsroom reporter Kayvon Mansouri, who was just on the other day, he reported in December of 2023 that one of the reasons rent has been increasing in this part of the country is that the Midwest has been marketed as an affordable place to live for a long time. Now, Tila, you are a transplant to St. Louis. This is something that you can kind of relate to. But insofar as the research from this report, what does it tell you about those who already struggle with housing and what they're facing if the attraction of affordable rent just continues to drive prices up?
Yeah, so we're really seeing that within St. Louis, rents have increased to levels that we've never seen before. There was a 60% increase across 7 years. And like we've mentioned before, there's actually been a decrease for some people in wages. And so despite it maybe being some more affordable than maybe some denser cities, we're seeing that these wages are continuing to stay stagnant and the rent is continuing to rise at unprecedented levels. And without any type of intervention, it's going to continue to do so. Mm-hmm.
So these are kind of twin problems that we're looking at. There's a triplet, I think, sort of effect that we'll be talking about later too. Now, Kayla, one of the things that I also found striking in the report is what you learned from respondents about average rent by neighborhood. St. Louis has lots of neighborhoods. People are very proud of them. The neighborhood that we're broadcasting from right now, Grand Center, is the most expensive one at $1,291 a month for rent. And then Benton Park and Tower Grove East neighborhoods, both at $1,174 a month, come next. So these are neighborhoods that, right, one could argue there are special amenities and attractions here, and that warrants a higher monthly rent. But then there are the North St. Louis neighborhoods. Kayla, you and I talked a little bit about what your experience was, like how much you were paying back in 2011 in North County. This report is based on the city. There are areas in the city that have seen, you know, disinvestment for decades. Mm-hmm. Median income is not high. So Carr Square averages $998 a month. St. Louis Place is $973, and Jeff Vanderloo is $956. I mean, what do you make of this, Kayla? Why is it so expensive to live in these neighborhoods that don't have those, like, said amenities and have seen so much disinvestment?
Yeah, I think in this country, housing is one of the ways that we build wealth, right? And so it's actually the number one way that folks build wealth. And so I think in the last decade, we've really seen an increase in the conversation about owning land to rent to other folks to drive your wealth. And so there has been sort of an incentivized mission across the country where we're actually seeing corporations now step into landlord work, where they're owning multiple properties across the city and county, who are the corporations that are not based in St. Louis. And you sort of, what used to be sort of a mom and pop landlord that maybe a couple bought a house with an extra unit that they rent out, you're starting to see sort of this like middle ground landlord that owns 10 to 20 properties. And so what they're incentivized by is pure profit. And housing is the number one thing that we all need. We all need shelter. And so it's not like you can decide to not buy a brand because they increase the price, or it's not like you can decide to not buy a certain car because you found a cheaper option. You have to pay what they are asking in order to keep shelter. And so there really are few options except to figure out how to navigate the burden of increased rent. And we're seeing that across different places. I live in South City. And, you know, when I first moved to South City, my rent for a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom apartment was $700. That same apartment is now going on rent for $1,200 and $1,300. Few updates have happened, but it's just the surrounding market that is incentivizing landlords to raise their rent.
And speaking of landlords, our producer, Roche Hemmings, caught up with Isaiah DiLorenzo, who's a landlord in South St. Louis, the area that you're from, where you're living, Kayla. And she asked for his perspective on what is driving the rise in rent costs.
Costs have gone up, so it is justifiable that rents go up as well. Yes, but obviously, of course, there's opportunism among property owners who are, you know, trying to make some money. And in some instances, you know, maybe they've been operating at a loss for years. And, you know, when the market is saturated and it's hard to rent stuff, you know, there's periods where a landlord isn't making any money. They're just, you know, they're just paying the building down. So I don't know. I mean, I know it's easy to vilify landlords, but, you know, it is a good time for them, and they're trying to, you know, benefit from it.
Tila, what do you make of that?
I mean, he said it himself that landlords are taking advantage, and for him to see it himself speaks to that it being a larger issue. And when you're talking about your potential profit, you were comparing your potential profit to the lives of people and their ability to live healthy and long, successful lives versus maybe some additional income. So it's very lopsided.
Kayla, how about you?
Yeah, I think what we have seen over the past, you know, few years, especially doing this tenant organizing work, is that from, you know, the individual landlord all the way up to the corporations, we're in a market where people are trying to drive the bottom line. And the pandemic made it that much worse. And we know that there's actually not a moment where we live in an oversaturated city where there are just empty rental units that people cannot fill, because we are constantly watching people be evicted and searching for housing. We have an unhoused population who are not able to transition into permanent housing. There are so many people who actually need housing in our region and need affordable housing in our region. And so I disagree with his assessment that there are moments where landlords are not, maybe during the housing crisis of in 2008, but right now this is a landlord's market. And they're really driving the bottom line to make more money, and at the cost of people whose wages are stagnant and who are actually suffering. And then if you sort of fall into that, where you aren't able to pay your rent for whatever decision, and I've talked about this on the show before, I've been evicted twice. It's incredibly hard to get back on your feet post these decisions. And one of the main drivers of people being evicted is rental increases and the amount of financial burden that puts on them, because they have no extra income for anything that comes into their lives.
Yeah. Then, you know, how is it that you square, you know, you talked about building wealth and people buying homes and then renting them as a way to build that wealth? It is a business, and it's meant to help people make money. I mean, what about landlords making a living, particularly maybe the ones who are individuals?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question, right? Should housing be a marketized item in the same way that we see other sorts of sectors of business?
Mm-hmm.
And or should we as a society be thinking about providing safe and affordable housing for the people who live in this country? And we've privatized land. We've, you know, increased rental prices. Home ownership is inaccessible for a lot of people. And so you are stuck sort of between this rock and the hard place. And in this reality, we are just watching people suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I get the desire to take care of your family, raise funds for yourselves, create generational wealth. But what
support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association. Missouri produces wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details on the variety of products made in the state are at choosewood.com.
We're also creating is generational poverty, because we're concretely sort of solidifying people's position in the lower class because they're not able to figure out how to save, how to invest, and how to thrive inside of their financial position.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about rising rent and the challenges that face folks seeking affordable and safe housing in St. Louis. We're talking with Kayla Reed and Tila Gajewski, Action St. Louis Data Coordinator, and we're speaking about recently released findings from the Rental Landscape of St. Louis 2023 report. Now, Tila, before the break, it seemed like you'd wanted to add something to what Kayla was saying insofar as the marketization of housing goes.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of our survey findings, we're actually seeing that the majority of people being threatened with eviction or facing eviction or living in these poor conditions, these properties are actually owned by large corporations, LLCs, and companies that own lots of other properties. So we're not really seeing as much of the issue with these smaller mom-and-pop landlords, although they do have their own issues, which comes with having the housing in the market that we do today. But we're really seeing these issues coming from larger corporations at an increasing rate.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked on the show about one particular company that's based in Ohio called Vinebrook Homes. Operates under like 50 some LLCs, and about housing that is mostly in in St. Louis County rather than the city. But did you see that there was an uptick, Kayla, in companies coming in to buy homes for rent during the pandemic? I mean, was that also part of the problem that you were observing that was really having an impact on renters?
Yeah, I think we used to have a reality where apartment complexes were owned and operated by companies in the region, in the state. Now we've sort of seen this corporatization of, you know, sort of coastal companies seeing billion-dollar opportunities in buying these apartment complexes from those state-based companies and raising the rent. Mm-hmm. And so that has been a phenomenon in St. Louis, where we're actually seeing multiple buildings change ownership rapidly because there's this constant buy and sell mentality now, that when there are too many complaints or there's bad publicity, we quickly see a corporation put a building up for sale and another corporation absorb it. And so then there's no pathway to accountability for renters because they actually sometimes don't even know who owns their building or what's the pathway to communicate with those owners.
Mm-hmm. So living conditions is something that I want to make sure we get to, because again, with that company that we talked about, the real estate company Vinebrook, much of the problem in the original investigation that we talked about on the show had to do with just terrible living conditions. The properties themselves were not being taken care of. And, you know, insofar as living conditions that are in the report, part of what Audrey Leonard, whom we heard from earlier in that email, said was that St. Louis increased her and her neighbors' rental rates by 10% with no additional benefits to the tenant. Like, we don't have any sense of what Audrey's home looks like or what its condition is. But in your surveying and research, Tila, there are tenants that are seeing higher rent. At the same time, they're seeing declining living conditions, including things like pest infestation and mold. I mean, how bad is it, and what are some of the specific problems that they've shared with you?
Yeah, I'd say one of the most common issues are pests. Around 70% of our respondents had dealt with pests, whether they were roaches, rodents, rats, and things like that. That is a main concern. Also, mold, leaks, flooding are also huge concerns. And we're noticing that over 80% of our respondents had at least one of these issues and was dealing with one of these issues. And also that their landlords are not responsive to these. When they make complaints, they aren't responsive. And if they do get a response, it might be an eviction threat. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So living in a home like this, I can imagine, and having had personal experience as well back in Los Angeles, in living in a house that was rented, there was stuff that was just not taken care of. Mm-hmm. The garage was rotting. As far as what it is people can do that does not rely upon a landlord or property owner to take care of that, I mean, how much responsibility, you know, can and should a tenant be taking to take care of things that are like immediately negatively affecting the ability to just live day to day?
Yeah, well, the state has like some very specific language around being able to, if you take on the cost of repairs, negotiating that in with your landlord around rent and taking that out of the rent. But those are very specific cases. What we're also seeing is that some of the issues are so systemic inside of these buildings that one apartment can't handle something like a leaky roof, right? Because that's impacting multiple units. And so there are very few avenues of opportunity for renters to file a complaint or, record those issues and then sort of negotiate with their landlord. Tenants are not really empowered in the city and state in those ways that we sort of see in other states. And then what I'll say is, you know, we've talked about conditions. What I think is interesting about in 2024 is the city actually has filed multiple lawsuits against landlords who were renting horrible conditioned facilities to renters and forcing them to pay cash. So there's almost this underground market of almost condemned buildings that are being rented out. And as I said before, shelter is the number one thing that most of us need. And so people are still paying rent in places that probably are uninhabitable.
Mm-hmm. This could come off as an obtuse question, and one that has a very obvious answer. Tila, why don't people just move out?
Well, they can't. It takes a significant amount of money to find a place, to move to that place, get all of your things there. That's also a significant amount of time that people may not be able to take off work. It's also very disruptive. You're leaving behind your entire community, your support system, and to move to somewhere else where you might even have the same problems. And we've had people express that there's somewhat of a fear that it might even be worse somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a very big problem.
Mm-hmm.
When Action St. Louis set out, you know, to do this survey and to receive some of the feedback from people who responded, what were you all thinking about as far as a goal or solutions? How do these results, these findings, move us somewhere closer to getting to a better place, Kayla?
Yeah, I think, you know, ACTION is an organizing institution. So we believe that people power is often the solution to some of our most gravest problems. And so for us, this was an opportunity to, you know, rent and eviction and circumstances, you can feel a lot of shame around that. And so you often are not talking to other people about what you are experiencing. And there's a lot of isolation inside of the renter landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, one of the things that this report is meant to do is to show that these are bigger pictures and themes that are happening across our region, and to bring people into that conversation who are impacted by it, and to also present to policymakers that there is a need to produce solutions to this and actually assist communities in holding these landlords accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And so last year for us, you know, we really were focused on eviction, and we worked to get Right to Counsel passed, which provides legal representation for families facing eviction. This year, we're really focused on what does it look like to have legislation like that in St. Louis County, where we see that there is continual evictions because of this sort of corporate landlord landscape that has really taken hold in St. Louis County. But also, what does it mean to look at legislation like Tenant Bill of Rights? And we sort of explain what that is in the report. Other cities like Kansas City who've done it. But ultimately, we are also looking at a state solution to this.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the real estate lobby and the other sort of people who are in Jeff City making sure that this is a pro-landlord state have to have opposition to that reality. And so we are organizing tenants to understand their power as voters, as a population, as a demographic, and then to champion solutions to the issues that they're facing.
Mm-hmm. So as far as Missouri as a state, I mean, what you are aiming to do, is it hard to accomplish what you've set out for yourselves? I mean, are there any signs that that there is some inclination to solve some of these problems?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we are seeing in a response since the pandemic is a really intentional landscape of tenant organizing. And so in St. Louis, we have, you know, Action St. Louis with the We the Tenants campaign. We have Homes for All. In Kansas City, there's KC Tenants, right? And across the state, there are these tenant unions in places like Springfield and Columbia. So there really is a desire to create infrastructure that is organizing people into this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In St. Louis, you know, rent, the landscape looks very different. We have a majority Black renter landscape in the St. Louis region.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case outside of the city. So we're building relationships with those organizations. We're thinking about both local and state policy. We're limited by preemption, which is a common thread inside of organizing in this state.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really, you know, continuing as an organization to investigate opportunities for change through policy and programs.
Yeah.
And we're also just trying to meet people where they are. So this year, when the Heritage House collapsed through a storm, we have organized inside of that community, making sure that we're doing wellness checks with elders, helping them find new places to live, Ridgeview and St. Louis County, we're just trying to create a rapid response infrastructure and a long-term organizing infrastructure to both meet the needs now and later for renters in our region.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. Choosewood.com.